B. The show will start right after the song, so stay tuned, folks. The Soul Savage Show, live here on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. Tell your friends, download that app, IMG2, or the website, studiow.buzz.
Que el mundo quiera verte lejos de mí, eso jamás lo voy a permitir. Ya no pienses más, déjanos hablar, que te importan a ti los demás. Solo yo puedo saber que eres como no puedo ver, te quiero perder, aunque estemos en un mundo gris. Con nuestro amor nos podemos. Cielo azul, eres luz que le da vida a mi oscuridad, eres mi sueño, mi ángel salvador. Te lo juro, mi amor, yo vivo por ti y no pienso dejarte ir. Estoy contigo porque sé
que
el
mismo amor es como lo puedo ver. Te quiero perder, aunque estemos en un mundo gris.
Con nuestro amor nos podemos defender, no nos van a dejarte ir. Estoy contigo porque sé
que no puedo ver, no te quiero perder, aunque estemos en un mundo gris.
Con nuestro amor nos podemos defender, no nos van a detener.
Na, 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 na.
All right, Gustavo Rodriguez, aka Tan Grande. All right, hey, come back. We're here on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network.
Hey, welcome to Soul Savage Radio Show, y'all. That's for all my Latino people. is Cinco de Mayo tomorrow, and I would celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Oh, oh yes, in Spanish, bienvenido el show. So that means welcome to the show.
Hey, go ahead with your bad self, cue there.
Yeah, man, we got, listen, man, I got all kinds of stuff going on. That's my favorite song right there. Do you know what that means in English? You know what that song means in English?
No,
you
know, please. Please enlighten me.
You ain't gonna guess? EB, you know? You know what it means in English?
I have no idea. I'm terrible,
you know? Man. You don't know this remake? It didn't sound familiar. You don't know what that means?
Uh-uh.
It means How Deep Is Your Love. They're doing a cover of How Deep Is Your Love.
The Bee Gees?
Yes, or man.
Sweat.
You know, they were there, Listen,
Keith Sweat is international.
Yeah, but that don't match the melody or what that is.
Nah, you right.
It que candelo, pa-pa-ra, que candelo. Hey, vamos, we good. Hey, we're going to get into the show. Got updates, man. I've been behind on everything. I've been in the trance. Listen, y'all didn't know I helped raise three kids, now four kids. He's back again, the little one, and it's hard to manage all this and then trying to raise kids at the same time because they've been, I didn't grew like 10 gray hairs since Tuesday. It's like crazy. They've been driving me wild all week. Who wants four kids? I'm just auctioning it off if y'all want to substitute my time. I'm just putting it out there.
No, you're doing a good job. Keep up the good work.
Right. They're like, nah, we good. They're all toddlers. They're all under five, so. Or at five, so crazy. But yeah, I haven't really paid attention. I forgot to look up the updates and all that stuff. But yeah, man, we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. I just want to know, did y'all clock in? I know Kanye West said slavery was a choice, so I just want to know, did y'all clock in back from slavery yet, or did y'all take time off? Did y'all have to go?
I'm on PTO right now, so.
Right, because he said we were... that it was a choice. I was like, how long have y'all been cocked out of slavery? Because apparently it was a choice. But yeah, we'll get into that later in the show. What a dumbass. Like, how do you say something like that and be that conventional that you know what you're talking about? Like, that's the definition. If you want to know what strong and wrong is, that's like he is the embodiment in the essence of strong and wrong. Like, when somebody just be saying stuff, just be saying it. And it sound good, that's what it was. But yeah, I got one more dedication to the Latino listeners. I know we got a lot of them. I know Will does on the, on the Studio W Buzz Network, but they be crossing over to the website, man. They be showing a lot of love. But yeah, Cinco de Mayo. Now, I know I've came down because Cinco de Mayo has been my year. I've always celebrated Cinco de Mayo. The people that know, basically Caucasian people have, Christopher Columbus this holiday, you know, cause they think it's just a holiday to drink and all that stuff. You know, they whitewash, you know, everybody's holiday. They want to get in on everybody's tradition and culture, but Cinco de Mayo is basically just a celebration of, the Mexican army, defeat over, the French army. I used to know the exact, I think it was 1800. The year slips me. Either 1872 or 1860 something. But yes, it was the Battle of Puebla. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But yeah, that's basically what Cinco de Mayo is, the defeat over Mexican's army defeat over the French. And so, yeah, that's why they celebrate that, like parades. They have, like, you know, all kind of stuff, like, you know, dancing and, you know, food, all kind of music and all that stuff. I remember when I was in high school, I took Spanish. I think it was Spanish 2, because I already took Spanish 1. Spanish 2, and it's, I was about to say Mexican woman, but she was not Mexican. She was a white lady. She's basically like what's the white woman that want to be black? What's her name? The one that be in the news, that be having them, be getting the wigs from the hood.
Rachel Dolezal.
Rachel, she's basically like the Caucasian version of the Rachel Dolezal for Mexican. She wanted to be like a Mexican Rachel Dolezal. So she was like, she would make all of us in the class, like, we had to change our names. I think my Spanish name was Carmen, and she would just refer to us as our Spanish. I'm like, my name ain't no damn Carmen. My name is Quenisha. Like, what the fuck? And she'd be like, Carmen, don't do that. I'm like, yeah, that ain't my name. I would never listen to her. I would just fill out, like, it would just be, like, simple stuff, like, it'd be, like, first grade Spanish shit, like,
you know what?
Say the alphabet and shit, and I just do that and be done, and got my A, because I'm like, I ain't fucking with this. I mean, I ain't effing with this girl, because she's doing too much.
I used to hate that. Like, I never got that when you were in the Spanish class, and they gave you a Spanish name.
They did that in your class, too?
Yeah, they did that to me, too.
She just had this fake accent, acting like she was, bitch, you ain't Mexican. Why you got this accent? This thing used to make me mad. I'm like, bitch, you was not Mexican. You was a Caucasian lady. She was like the lady that, she was trying to make her hair look like the lady that killed Selena. That's what her hair looked like. Like, you showed up trying to steal Mexican swag. I'm just telling you, that was the visual I had. Her hair always looked like that. I'm like, yo, you look like that chick in that movie, Selena movie. So yeah, shout out to all the Latino listeners. But yeah, go ahead, what were you about to say?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I was tripping on you saying that you look like the lady that killed Selena.
No. I said her hairstyle reminded me. She didn't look like it. She
didn't
have a hairstyle.
Oh, wow. I know exactly what hairstyle you're talking about, too.
Well, bitch, you was not Spanish. Stop. It was just making me mad. You used to act like she was Mexican. Bitch, you ain't Mexican. Stop with that accent. That shit used to get on my nerves. And then we were just doing, like, basic. I was so mad. That was supposed to be, like, advanced Spanish, and we doing fucking alphabets. Like, you ain't Spanish. Like, I already know these words. Talking about EBSSD, FA. I'm like, I know this. Why are we doing this? We were learning no kind of Spanish. It was just like, it was like first grade Spanish. Basically what it was. It was an easy A for me, but yeah. You speak Spanish? Do any of y'all speak Spanish? Y'all know any different?
I do not.
Y'all speak?
I know.
You don't?
I know nothing. I know how to count to 10.
What?
Unos, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. That's right, siete.
He boy.
No way, baby.
Hey. Let's see. See, it says, let's see. What is nine? Nine is, I know, let's see. Das is 10,
nueve.
Right?
Nueve.
Nueve is nine.
Oh my God. I got
ocho is eight.
Yes.
That's right. That's it. And that's
you trying to convince yourself of it. Like, it's eight.
Q-Lynn, I'm trying to remember.
Like, it's eight.
Right? I'm trying to remember. It's been so long since I took Spanish. You know, foreign languages, they're tricky. If you don't use it, you'll lose it.
You know, I didn't even learn Spanish in school. It was friends I had. And then when I worked in a restaurant, while the cook was Mexican. It was different kinds. They wasn't all Mexican. It was Cubans, Mexicans, and Puerto Ricans. They were in the cook room, and that's all they spoke was Spanish. And so I had to learn, because I had to, like, bring the plates and stuff to them. So I had to, like, and then I remember one time, I forgot his name. I think his name was Pablo. I forgot. He was a dishwasher. He used to get so mad because during rush time, when the lunch hour, when every lunch rush would hit, all the dishes would be piled up because there'd be a lot of people in the dining area, and we would have to bring all of them back, and he would get so pissed because he would get done with a load, and then we'd bring like a whole stack to what he just watched. He's like, Bobby, he's in the coffee house. He's like, Bobby, what's the matter with you? Bobby, what are you doing? he's like, why are you bringing this out? He's in there cussing me out bad. I'm like, Bobby, you gotta watch me. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. And then he would clock out and smoke that cigarette in his car, listening to 70s records. But yeah, I don't have no updates. I was trying to read through some old ones, but ain't none of them popping up on my thing. So, Will, you ready to go to the next song? Because we're going to go straight to the news. Well, we go straight to your segment after this.
All right, let's do it.
You ready for the song?
Yeah. out. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got soul and I'm super bad. I got soul and I'm super bad. That tells me what to do. Sometimes I tell you. Now I gotta move. That tells me what to do. Sometimes I feel so nice. I wanna try myself a few. I got soul and I'm super bad. I'm love. I love to do my thing. And I don't need no one else. Sometimes I feel so nice. Good God. I jump back. I want to kiss myself. I've got soul. And I'm super bad. Hey! I said I'm super bad.
Godfather, the one and only, James Brown. James Brown, you know, I believe in folks. He say he was the hardest man, working man in show business. E.B. Q-Lin, did you see him when he was alive?
No, I never did.
I never got to see him when he was alive, sadly.
Man,
probably still, it'd be more better to listen to it when he was in his prime, because he wasn't doing all his performance things when he was older.
Well, you know,
remember that 04 BET Award performance when he was killing it, and then Michael Jackson came out. Everybody was like, "Oh my God!" He came out because he wasn't supposed to. I don't think he was supposed to be there or something like that. And then he showed up. Everybody was going crazy.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Everybody.
Oh my goodness! I had the opportunity of seeing him several times. You know, from my hometown in Richmond, Virginia, he used to come there quite a bit. And guess what? This is one of those shows that you would not be disappointed. You know, he would give you your money's worth. I mean, he didn't shortchange you at all, you know. And someday, you know, when we get a chance to get into it, I'll give you a little story about his history.
That's one of my favorite James Brown songs right there. It was his birthday yesterday, too, Shasha.
Huh? It was his birthday yesterday, absolutely.
And then Jabo Brown, the drummer that played on this one, he died this week, too. So.
Oh, wow,
that's
wow.
Him too. He's a legend. Yeah. But yeah, I was over here. Y'all should have heard me. During the break, while I was listening to it, I got salad everywhere on this thing because I was using this fork as a drum thing. I was sitting there beating on the side of this thing. There's lobster and everything all across this thing. I'm going to get on the mixing board because I was over here beating on the side of this plate.
Yeah. Hey, one day, Q-Man, perhaps, you know, we'll give you a little history behind James Brown. You know, I know quite a bit about him. And
I don't need no history on James Brown. I'm up on it already.
Well, did you know that he owned two airplanes? You know he had two jets,
yep,
right?
I sure did.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, incredible, incredible.
I watched the documentary and the movie. The movie wasn't that good. I already told you about that movie. That was terrible. I hate the way they sequenced that movie.
I didn't see the movie.
I mean, Chadwick Boseman played James Brown. It was awful. The documentary is like way better. And
okay.
You should have known it was going to be terrible because the guy from the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, produced the movie. I was like, oh, right. Terrible. Chadwick, he didn't deserve nothing for that. I think they thought he was going to get an Oscar, but I'm like, no, that was terrible. He didn't sound nothing like James Brown. Right. He kept breaking in and out of his voice. He laughed, I was like, dude, you sound like Chadwick Brown. What are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
But it was funny that all this, his birthday and all this stuff came around yesterday because there was a musician I follow on the internet, and he was asking, like, who would be people's favorite, he's asking musicians, specifically, like, who would they like to back for, like, dead or alive or whatever, and he listed some of mine, like, he listed, like, Prince and, who else, I think it was, like, Chaka Khan or somebody like that, but he listed James Brown. I didn't listen to James Brown, because I would never, if I was, like, a drummer during that time period, I couldn't work for him, because he's doing too much, because he sounds like the... Some of my older mentors that I have, he talks like from what I've listened to a documentary, like he sounds like older mentors, so I kind of had him because they were saying that nobody could ever understand what he would be saying because he would make up these words and then you just had to like basically try to like fill in what he was trying to say, try to feel it, and then if he didn't get it, not edit it or something like that. But I couldn't do that because that would be too aggravating. And then he wasn't paying people on top of that like that. He wasn't paying his musicians, so I couldn't do no job like that. But he was saying that would be his top five. But, yeah, it's crazy, like, how they had to, like, figure out what he was saying. And they basically just was like, and they said that, I remember it was Fred Wesley was saying in practice how they were playing it. He's like, nah, he cut it. He's like, nah, that ain't it. And then he said he literally plays the same thing down when he broke down a section and he said, oh, there you go right there. That's it. He's like, I literally played the same thing. And I'm like, man, I relate to that because that it was an old school musician. He would always do that. And then he'd be like, no, pick it up because he'd be wanting you to play like he playing. And then I would literally play it the same way. And he'd be like, oh, there go ahead. I'm like, man, what is he doing? But yeah, it was just crazy like how they had to like pick that up in practice. That would drive me crazy. I can't work with people like, I already told y'all the story of the person. I told y'all I used to be high-headed when I was younger because it was one. I already told you. If I could remember the name of the cat, because he's still out here torn, I think he's pretty popular. He ain't, like, mainstream or nothing like that, but he gets, like, if I could remember his name, I would tell y'all. But this dude used to clap at us to get us in on the next song, and I quit. Like, I'm like, what the fuck are you clapping at? I'm like, that ain't no dog. I was like, those drumsticks in the head when he did that. And he spit when he talked. I was over with. I was like, I don't need this. they was like, nah, just wait. I'm like, nope, I ain't going over this cat. Don't be clapping at me. He can clap at us, be like, get in the eat. I'm like, dude, if you, I will throw one of these drumsticks at you. But yeah, that's going on a rant. But yeah. Oh yeah, we played Zapp and Roger. The reason why I played Zapp and Roger, that's also for my, my Campana, essay, that they see me hood homies, the Latinos, the hood homies that be, they got like a tricked out truck or something like that, and they got their name on the back of it in black and white. You know what I'm talking about, Will?
What's that?
Those Latinos that had their name on the back of their truck.
Yeah.
They have like Hernandez or something on the back of it. That's what that's for. The ones that be in the tricked out lowriders, that's what that's for. Off in Lenox in LA and Slauson. I see y'all. That used to be a thing back in the day. Latinos love them some Zapp and Rogers. Cause they got that bass in there where they could hit switches on it. That was for them. Yeah, shout out to all them. Yeah, what we're gonna do right here. If Will's ready, we'll go to the segment we like to call 6 minutes of a Savage Part, aka 6 minutes of
Braids
with Will. So, Will, if you ready, we will.
We ready. All right. Hey, let's turn it up. All right, 6 minutes of Rage here on the Soul 70 Show. Hey, folks, Spanky is at it again. Now, if you don't know who Spanky is, hey, follow us. You'll determine before this segment is over. Well, actually, I'll give it to you right now. Your illustrious president, Mr. Donald J. Trump. Hey, guess what? Kanye West, I can't believe what I just saw today. He just in love with Kanye West, and he's giving Kanye West a credit because he said his black poll numbers have gone up, and it was 11%, and now it's 22%. And he just heard it today, and he was at the NRA meeting. Write this down, and he just thanked Kanye West. He said, thank you, Kanye. Well, speaking of which, I just want to name off some people that you might know, because this thing, Blacks for Trump, it sort of gets on my nerves. Now, I don't care, you know, because I think that black people, white people, Hispanic people, I mean, anybody, Asian, everybody should vote for somebody. But come on, folks, this guy. All right. Number one, Paris Denard. If you don't know Paris Denard is a commentator. I'm not exactly sure what else he does except for kiss Trump's butt every night on CNN. I have no idea, but you might want to check him out. Absolutely sickening. Okay, number two. Oh, my God. Omarosa. And did you hear the news? There was an alleged affair between Omarosa and Donald Trump. We'll get back to that in a little bit. Omarosa, she left not on such good terms anyway. She said that she was going to let it out all out in her book. I'm wondering when that's coming. Can't wait to sign up for that one. Ben Carson, Dr. Uncle Ben. Oh, my goodness. Ben Carson, the head of HUD. Now, it's my understanding, he is a fantastic neurosurgeon. Okay, that's his expertise. He's an expert in his field, and he's a doctor. Why is he leading up HUD? And he's also destroying the thing. He has raised the rent on single parents and mothers, especially in the already impoverished neighborhoods. Dr. Ben, hey, way to go, guy. All right. Mike Tyson. Everybody know now. You already know now. Something wrong with Iron Mike, so I might even have to give him a pass, you know. I don't know what's being knocked around in the ring, or maybe his mom dropped him when he was a baby. I have no idea. Now, Diamond and Silk. You may not know these names, but they became famous, infamous, because they decided as two black women, they wanted to support Trump. Now, like I said, vote for anybody you want, but let me ask you a question. Anybody out there, it doesn't matter who you are and where you come from, do you want your children, and if you're old enough, do you want your grandchildren to imitate or emulate this guy? Do you really want him as an example of your children and grandchildren? Hey, let that resonate a little bit for you. All right. Oh boy, Stacey Dash, the Fox host who has said some questionable things about black America. Okay, I'm gonna pass on her. I'm not giving her a pass. Dennis Rodman. Okay, same thing. Well, you know, he's a little weird anyway. And ever since he hooked up with Madonna, the boy hasn't been right since. That's when he changed his hair and started. And remember when he dressed up in a wedding dress and married himself? So yeah, hey, Trump, you can have him. Boy, you got a lot to hang your head on. Jimmy McMillan, the Rent Too Damn High founder, had to say about Trump. He's the only one who is supporting my brother veterans. Really? Okay, all right. Well, he's got his money in your left pocket, so don't forget about that one either. Pastor Mark Burns. Hey, is that that phony pastor that they had the cameras all set up and coming to find out the guy really didn't have any pews? He had some picnic tables inside of this building, and when the cameras came in to interview him, when it got too hot and found out he really didn't have a real degree, he left the camera crew in his church and drove off. Oh, my God. I hope he left him some chicken. So anyway, yeah, oh boy, we don't want to do this. Number 10, Azealia Banks. In a tweet, the singer wrote, "I really want Donald Trump to win the election." Really, girl? Okay, how do you feel about that now? Oh God, I knew I didn't like him in the first place. I had no idea. Terrell Owens, you know, that football player who caused problems everywhere he went. He was almost like a cancer on the field, and I was almost feeling sorry for him up until this very moment right here. Oh my goodness. No way. Herschel Walker. Are you kidding me? Where are these clowns coming from? I don't believe this. Herschel, nope, I'm writing you off my list too, buddy. Okay, you're not going to make the Hall of Fame behind this if I have anything to do with it. Sean Merriman, last year, the former NFL player told TMZ that he took Donald Trump's side, whatever that means. Oh, that means that you're a crook, too. All right, I got you covered. It just don't matter. Oh, where are all these nut jobs coming from? Latrell Sprewell. Remember, he's the basketball player that ousted himself out because he overpriced his contract and said his family couldn't live off of $7 million a year. So guess what? They cut him all together. So I guess, how does it feel like working for a McDonald's, Latrell? All right, I knew you a few. Oh, that's right. He took the 2x4 after his coach. Remember that? And choked out his coach? Oh, boy. Jim Brown? Okay, man, I'm getting real disappointed here. The legendary NFL player admitted that he did not vote for Donald Trump. He said he admired the former reality star, so I might give him a pass since he said he didn't vote for him. And our Kanye with the infamous Mr. Kanye West. Folks, I'm telling you right now, this, and Tina Campbell, let's not forget that. Now, you can vote for anybody you want. It really doesn't matter to me. However, you have to understand that the racism, the bigotry, the divisiveness, the things that's happening in this country, you've got to be outraged with what's going on, and you're going to still support this man. There's so much going on. I only got through third of my page, Q-Land, because that's my 6 minutes of rage.
Spring Honda. Man, I didn't hear nothing when you said Paris Denard, because, man, when I tell you, I can't stand that dude. I watch CNN, too. I've been watching the clips online. And the segments on there, I love it when they have like Angela Rye and like other journalists like Keith Boykin and stuff on there, be checking him when he be on there talking crazy. I'd be like, man, is you serious right now? Cause it'd be like, I remember you got it, I forgot what show it was. It was something, I think it was like, last year or something like that. He got into it with Keith Boykin cause he was like, Keith, what are you serious right now? And he started questioning his blackness. He's like,
he did.
He's like, you're not going to question my blackness or something like that.
It was good. Hey,
Paris is EB. Trash. Like, he is absolutely a black Anglo-Saxon.
EB.
I got more black Anglo-Saxons.
He's a black KKK.
And he's such condescending. And he always, like, anytime, like, Don Lemon, that be moderating, he'll be trying to like, look, this is a common sense thing. He's like, can you just say that this isn't appropriate for a president? He's like, well, I don't think it. He's like, his supporters, this is who he is. I'm like, man, if you don't say,
yep.
Ready to cuss him out, way he be talking about. And then he had another be condescending. He'd be talking, and then like, he'll be condescending towards somebody like Van Jones, who's like completely trying to like, he's like one of those liberals that be trying to stay in the middle and not be trying to piss off conservatives and stuff. And so he got mad at Van Jones, and Van Jones wouldn't even, like, he's like, look, do you have to name call? Van Jones sounded like a nerd. I was like, man, you know, quit talking like that with this dude, just cuss him out, or just say something, like, clever that'll get him together. I love it when he all with Angela Rye, because Angela Rye be getting him together. I'm cracking up.
Oh, Angela Rye. Oh, she gives it to him. I'm telling you right now. Oh, who else? There was another black commentator.
On my nerves. I cannot stand him. He's one of them conservatives. I'm like, really ain't repping for the. It's one black Republican on that I respect. Man, I wish I could find his name, but he's like really good though.
Yep.
Because I can't think of his name though.
Oh, let me see if I can find him for you. I'll see if I can find him for you.
All right, he's keep like on. Real young, but he has a lot of good common sense because he's like a real conservative, like from like, you know what I mean? Like what the party used to be about before I was like. The whole Tea Party thing started, like, he's like a real Republican, but, yeah, Paris is trash. I'd be ready to smack him every time he talk. I'd be like, why you got him on here? Cause y'all just making me mad, cause I'd be ready to smack him when he be talking.
Yeah.
Like, ain't no way you sit here condoning all this.
Well, you know, I'm wondering, what does he do for a living? I don't know. Except for, like I say.
He used to be former, he used to be something, part of the George Bush.
I think he was part of administration
in some way. I forgot specifically what his title was, but he don't even be going up for Bush like that. He be tripping on him when he be talking about it. Like he act like he didn't want to work. I'm like, you the one signed up to work for him, so.
Yep. And you know, and the thing about it is, I don't know, it doesn't matter what Trump does, he will never ever say anything bad about Trump. Right?
Oh yeah, he won't. He'll deflect it on something else saying that, well, they did this. I'm like, we ain't talking about them. We talking about the president that's in office right now. Like, what is he talking about? And he'll just keep deflecting from something else that ain't got nothing to do with the point that's being made. I'm like, this cat here. And then he always get mad because he'll say, I get death threats all the time. They call me an Uncle Tom and they question. I'm like, cause you are. That's why. I'm like, you act like it's a stretch to call you that. And he'd be like, they call me names and all that stuff. I'm like, man, shut up. Don't like care nothing about what you're talking about. But yeah, when you said Paris' name, that just had me fired up. Cause I do be watching clips online with him on there. I'm like, man, is he serious?
Are you talking about Simone Sanders? You know, Simone Sanders?
Black conservative we talking about?
EB.
Nah, the young guy?
Yeah,
No, that's a different one. The one we talk about is Paris. He's absolutely a black Anglo-Saxon.
Uh-oh.
Paris Denard, he's always on. All you gotta do is Google him, man. I mean, all you gotta do is YouTube a thing. He gonna make you frustrated within the first 10 seconds of him talking. Like, soon as you hear him, like, you like, really?
Your
blood pressure gonna go up as soon as you start talking.
Yep.
And then I can see on the panelists, even the non-black people be like, they just be looking.
They look at him like he's crazy.
It was another Republican. I forgot, but he said that, man, I ain't rocking with none of these Republicans now because Trump is wrong. I think his name is Rick Wilson. That's who it is. Rick Wilson is a Republican. He got as soon as went fast, the fans was so mad. That shit was so funny. I was dying. Cause Rick Wilson, he's like, I can't believe you just sit up here and talk like this. He's like, how you go so far for Trump or whatever? And then he's like, hey, you don't sit here and question my blackness or something like that. It was funny. Cause he had Paris mad. Paris is always mad on their show.
Yeah, the girl you're talking about.
I'll let this show, I'll be cracking up. Cause he had me in tears. He gets so mad.
Okay. Q-Lin, are you talking about Simone Sanders, the black girl with the short haircut?
Oh, no. She's a Democrat. No, I'm talking about, it's a black guy. Cause I just saw a clip. I can't think of his name. It's a young black guy. He's a conservative, but he was on, I think he was on a panelist with, hold on. Let me find it real quick. Cause I think I can find his name on there. Cause he's real good. I like listening to him cause he makes good sense.
Now, is that Bakari?
He's part of the black caucus and he's trying to get like, he be trying to talk about how Trump, the people that the White House keeps refusing to enter, he's trying to get people from the Black Caucus internships at the White House, and he was like advocating for that, saying that they haven't called anybody from there to get them in there.
Okay, look here. Q-Lan, I think you're talking about Bakari Sanders. He's a black Republican. That's Bakari.
Yeah. Democrat, but it wasn't
no, Bakari. I think Bakari is a no. I think he's a Republican. But I think he is.
I like him too because he makes good sense on there. But it's another one. Dang!
Hey, turn your mic up, Q-Lan. Turn your mic up.
I think I'm okay. Yeah, I can't think of what his name is.
Bakari Sanders, I believe.
No, I know that guy. I know him. It's another one because he was just on Don Lemon's show a minute ago. It was like a few days ago he was on there. I'm trying to find it.
That's Bakari. Because I'm looking at it right now.
No, it's another black guy. It's another one. Because he was like specifically talked about that. I know who Bakari is. It's another one because he was on a panel with him before. You act like one of them Caucasian people thinking they all white. They have like a lot of conservatives that be on CNN, black conservatives that be on there. It's a black woman. She has like blonde hair.
Oh, I yes. Well, you know, she's a Republican. She's a Republican, too.
Yeah, and then Ana Navarro, she's pretty good, too. I like listening to her. She makes a lot of good sense. But that's like, I'm going to find his name. I'll probably figure it out next week or something. But, yeah, we're going to get right into it. We got enough time to talk about all these people. Let me pull up this list. Evie, you want to go first to the Raggedy News?
Yeah. I mean, I guess we already kind of talked about Kanye. Like,
nah, we still going in because we.
Yeah, no, there's more about that fool.
And I just want to say, we'll knock that out first. I just want to say that y'all were kind of dismissing my points that I was making. But I just want to say in that Charlamagne interview, that's why I was holding back my whole opinion because I knew this interview was coming. So I was going to wait for my opinion, and I'd be damned if everything that he said in that interview, that's what I said last week. That was his point. And basically, just to reiterate what I said last week, I said people were trying to make it seem like I didn't care about the whole situation, about him liking Trump or whatever. Because that's all it is just him liking Trump, the person, which I understand. But I get why he likes him, because they basically the same person and have that same personality, and that's all he's going off of. And I wasn't taking it seriously because my whole thought was, oh, he don't know nothing about his policies. He just likes him as a person. And he basically was liking him. He's trying to like him because he's mad at Obama because, since the Taylor Swift situation, when Obama called him a jackass for that, he's still mad about that. And he's mad at Jay-Z because in the interview he said, because Jay-Z won't give him information about how to start his Yeezy line or whatever fashion line. He's basically mad at Jay-Z because he won't give him the tools and information to start his own factory. And that's basically the whole interview is what he's talking about was his fashion line. So that's what I knew it was about. That's why I didn't trip out on it. And then I didn't want to make it seem like I didn't care about what he's talking about because most of it is him about himself. Like when he made the whole slavery comment, at first I was pissed off, but then I was like, yo, he don't read nothing. So why am I getting mad at him? Like this is basically the same people. He's basically a media person that's like Twitter that basically be saying stuff. And he really is like Trump because he'll just say stuff and don't have no kind of fact based in his opinion, don't have no kind of information about what he's talking about, and he just says it because that's what he feels. And I don't think he's doing it intentionally to try to hurt people. I feel like he really thinks like that. And then it wasn't even me questioning his mental state. Like he thinks that because Trump became president, he basically thinks that he can run now because Trump is president. And if you watch the interview, that's literally what he said. And so when I was tracking everything he said in the interview, I didn't agree with nothing he said, but I got where his mind frame was going from. And so when people were calling crazy, I'm like, it ain't really about like him trying to like, he's basically doing all this for publicity. And he said that in the interview. He's like, oh, I see this is becoming a thing. So he's just going to throw more flames on it. And when I was telling y'all, when I was saying people was ignoring it, I'm like, for the most part, people was until he made that slavery comment. Which is, everybody knows that's not fact-based at all. Like, everybody knows that. And I love the guy, Van Lathan from TMZ. He checked him, like, right then on TMZ. I put him in Savvy News, because that was dope that he did that, like, right then. But, yeah, that's all Kanye's stance is. He don't know nothing about Trump's policies or his ideology. He just likes the idea of Trump and how he went about getting the presidency. He don't know nothing else past that. He don't know nothing. Like, and to be honest, I can't be mad at somebody that don't know nothing. It's like you're ignorant on purpose. Like, you're ignorant because you don't want to read. and you have your friends, like your people that you don't want checking you, the people you want contacting you, but you have like actual friends trying to like check you and trying to keep you from putting out dumb shit, but you trying to get the attention of people that don't care nothing about you. Like, he's trying to get Obama's attention and he's trying to get Jay-Z's attention, and they ignored him. And so he's throwing out tweets to try to spark the flame to get them to listen. And if you listen to the interview, I think he could benefit from therapy because he definitely has a narcissist personality disorder. And if you look it up, I'm no doctor, but he definitely has all the traits. Him and Trump have the traits of that. And basically, when you have people, like, it's a lot of people trying to, like, get him to, like, dude, you tripping right now. And he's not going to listen to nobody. He's only listening to himself. Like, he'll only listen to you if it aligns with what he's saying. Because every time, because Charlamagne did a really good job in that interview, because he did everything he was supposed to do as somebody conducting an interview. He was listening, and then he was trying to open his perspective, and you can see him thinking about, and he was trying to give him clues and leeways into, like, yo, you're not trying to be, you don't really think like Trump. And then you can see him thinking, and then he would completely conform what he said and try to flip it to where it made sense, and it never did. He's like one of those people that he can't contextualize what he's saying, and he can't verbalize the thoughts that's in his head, because he'll have a string of thoughts. In that whole interview, he was stringing so much stuff together that didn't make sense. But at a certain length of time, when he kept talking, it made sense, because he was like lumping in like Obama with the fashion industry and racism, and he was lumping it all together. And then at some point, I'm like, what is he talking about? But then, like, in a certain, like, 10 minutes later, he would go back to it and then finally get to his point of view, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And so I get, he just has a, when he said a slavery comment, I got pissed off, but then I was like, oh, he's saying, talking about mental slavery, which is true in a sense, but you can't tie that together and say that slavery is a choice, because that's basically words mean things, and you can't just say stuff like that and think people just don't get what you're saying, and that's basically what he did. So I didn't take it that seriously. I didn't take him seriously into the slavery point. I'm like, yo, he needs like a real team that's gonna like tell him. But at some point, I think he just doesn't want that. And I think at some point, when I think if people stop, I see people, it's a lot of things online, people saying, some people take it and they say boycott his shoe line and boycott that. And I think that might be it, because he's one of those people that feels like all this attention is gonna garner them listening to his album. He's basically doing all this because he has a lot of projects and different people's projects that he's putting out. And so, yeah, I think he would benefit from that, because when I said that he was doing all this for attention, that's true. Like, he said his confidence was low before, like 2 albums ago, when he didn't think people were rocking. And I said that, like, when I said that people don't really rock with Kanye like that, that's what he said. Like, he said the same exact thing I said last week. I said, people don't care nothing about Kanye, and that's why he's doing all this, because he sees people caring about it. And he said that in the interview. That's what I'm saying. Everything I said last week, he said in that Charlamagne interview. And then when he went on TMZ, his demeanor in the Charlamagne interview versus the TMZ interview is way different. And so I just know that he's doing all this for attention. And what I'm saying is, people don't care. If y'all stop caring about what he's saying, he's going to stop doing it. And because if you keep telling him he can't do something, in his mind, he like, I'm going to do it because it feels right, because he's always been like that. And I'm not into the marketing strategy of what he's doing, so I'm just going to ignore it. Hopefully everybody else, I say ignore in terms of not buying the music and not buying fashion and all that other stuff. But that's all whoever consumer that wants to buy it. But he's basically doing all this because he's trying to get a factory started, is what he said. And he already bought like property from trying to become a real estate mogul. And that's why he's aligning himself with Trump, because he thinks Trump is going to help him out in that aspect, which he might. I don't know, because he's a part of that tax bracket to where he can get write-offs and all that stuff like that in terms of real estate. So that's why he's aligning himself with Trump. But that's about it, like in terms of money. In terms of his ideology and the way, in terms of reading, he don't have none of that. He doesn't have any kind of, he said in there, he said if you want political. He said he's not political. He said he wasn't political and didn't talk to John Legend because John Legend been trying to get him together and everybody else like T.I. trying to inform him, but he don't want to listen because he's off of what he feels. Anybody, anytime you deal with somebody that just deal with feelings and emotions, he's always going to keep putting himself in a situation because he doesn't think about nothing he says. He goes off of feelings. And so that was my point. And I'll say that Kanye is just, he's just gonna do that. He's gonna keep get hopefully the people talking to him. Hopefully that will seep into him. But I don't know how true that's gonna be. I just think, and I hate that he keeps making. He has the Tupac complex, and he was quoting Tupac so much. I'm like, he does know that Tupac used to read, like he read books, like a lot of books. And Tupac wasn't ignorant, so. When he keeps aligning himself like Tupac, like Tupac read books, like Tupac, the stuff that he was most passionate about, he knew about it. And which is disappointing with Kanye since his mother is a professor of African American studies. You would think somebody would have more sense to talk like he does, but that's a whole other topic. But what do you think, EB?
I mean, I'm still of the team that, you know, Kanye's crazy. And I think it's so irresponsible for somebody who has his platform to make the type of statements that he does, even though he says they're for publicity and nobody's paying attention to him. People are paying attention to him. And he, I think part of his complex is he wants all of the attention. He wants more attention. So I'm still like, he's an idiot. I didn't watch the interview because I didn't watch the Charlamagne interview just because I just think that interview should have been left up to someone with more experience in journalism.
But
not
he did it
that,
the right way. No, I'm not going to diss Charlamagne.
But he did a
perfect interview in terms of.
I've heard people say that, but I, as someone who went to school for media and mass communication journalism, I know that I would have rather have seen that type of interview done with someone with more experience, someone on a different platform, because some of the statements that Kanye has made, I don't feel like Charlamagne was the right person to interview him, especially
if you haven't seen it?
Well, because I know the type of stuff that Charlamagne does. I get.
But he gave no. That's what I'm saying.
You may have enjoyed the interview. Millions of people may have enjoyed the interview. I know that I wouldn't, just because it's almost like you as a musician, you see things a little differently than someone like me, who is not necessarily a musician. Even, you know, as much of a music lover I am, there are still certain things that I wouldn't understand or see or even appreciate as much as you, because that is your expertise. That is the field or your career choice. That is, you know, what you do. I can't get down with Charlamagne. I can't get down with anything he does personally. You know, I'm all for the home team, you know, South Carolina. We dare Charlamagne, but you know, no. And then,
would you want him to ask?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know what type of questions I want him to ask. I know what I don't want to hear him do, and that interview was something I didn't want to hear him do. Now, I did see the clip from TMZ, and, I mean, even that to me is all BS. And what's the guy's name? Van Lathan? I think he made some good points, but I'm not so quick to stand up and applaud this guy who works for TMZ and all of a sudden call him woke and, you know, I'm glad somebody checked him. No, that didn't mean anything. The cameras were on. Of course, Kanye reacted in the way that he did.
The reason why I'm commending him, because he's always anything in terms of stuff like that. This ain't his first time, like, speaking up for black people in that moment.
Right, right.
I watch TMZ, so I know he's one of the ones that always, like, has something positive to say. Again, TMZ is a whole entity in itself. Like, they get every – I can see why somebody would work there. If I was there, I would probably try to work there. Not saying that I agree with everything. They just report stuff, and he has, like – the way Harvey got ties with everything in terms of like judges and all kinds of stuff. He get information before anybody. So I think TMZ had like certain things that's not credible about them, but in terms of like having a stable income, I wouldn't judge
him. I'm not knocking him for working for TMZ, but I'm just saying I'm not going to stand up and clap for him for saying what he said. I mean,
in that moment, like, it was necessary because nobody else was going to do it. It wasn't about that. No one was about that moment. Somebody needed to rein him in and check him.
Wait, but do you really think Kanye really heard what he said? Do you think it really affected Kanye?
Heard.
No,
you
absolutely
saw, just,
not. The
no,
cameras
no, no.
were on, Q-Lan. That whole, oh, come here, brother, let me give you a hug.
I'm not talking about that because I didn't even see that until yesterday. I didn't even see the whole clip. But I'm saying in terms of him listening, he was listening because –
He heard it, but was he listening? No, of course he heard it, but was he listening? Did that change anything? No, it didn't. Kanye is still going to look out for Kanye. Kanye still has his album coming out or working with other people. Kanye is still going to support, you know, Trump and align himself with Trump because that's in his best interest. Because like you said, he wants to get this factory or whatever the hell he's doing up off the ground. So he's going to look out for Kanye. And I just think it's irresponsible for someone with his platform to do that.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying that in terms of people like Charlamagne, I'm saying the interview was good because there's no way any other white publication or anybody from a news network was going to ask him those specific questions and get...
No. And when I wanted someone else to do it, I wasn't talking about a white person at all. I mean, there are plenty of black
journalists.
Well,
who else is going to do it, and that's going to get those kind of – anybody else wouldn't have got those questions.
And you know what?
I mean, get those answers.
You may certainly be right, but my point is I haven't watched the interview. I'm not interested in watching the interview. I'm not interested in Charlamagne, and I'm not interested in Kanye.
And he wasn't doing anything that was buffoonery. Like, it was a great interview in terms of how he was asking the question. He wasn't talking about music. Until it got to the point of why he was doing some of the stuff he was doing, and that's when he started saying it was for public. I think any question you had towards why he did anything he's been doing in the past couple of years, he answered in an interview. And
well,
I'm saying Charlamagne did a good job of getting to the root of what his issues were.
I didn't have any questions about anything that Kanye has been doing. So the interview wasn't for me.
The people that make it a big deal about it have these questions, so that's why I was saying that.
Well,
but,
and that's why I'm glad that those people were able to watch the interview. Me, on the other hand, I didn't have those questions, so I didn't have to watch the interview.
See, I don't operate like that. I need to know his train of thought and why he's saying the
I don't. I know
I say
his
that,
train
that's
of thought.
My conclusion. And when he said before, when I saw that, and the reason why I said what I said last week, because that was the train of thought. Every time I listen to him talk, I'll pay attention to what people say. I don't try to project how they feel. I just listen to what they say. And when I was saying what I was saying last week, that was literally what he said. And I felt kind of, you know, good about myself because I'm like, yeah,
you
that was my
validated
point of view.
In that, the point that you
I felt validated that that was my point. Yeah, because I didn't
but
think y'all were listening to me.
For me, that's not it. I get that, and I'm not, you know, knocking you for rocking with it or watching it or thinking it's a great interview. I mean, we all are entitled to our opinion.
I'm not saying
my opinion
that everything
that
was.
I'm not saying
it was a great interview in terms of like what Kanye was saying. I'm saying the questions that need to be asked, the hard questions that need to be asked.
The hard questions that need to be asked. Charlamagne was able to ask them, but my thing
I'm saying from that viewpoint, it was a great interview in terms of Kanye.
I don't care. Like, I don't need to know the answers to any of those questions because I know the answer. So no matter what he said on camera, no matter what he said to Charlamagne in front of everybody, I know deep down what that man stands for, and I can't rock with him. That's it. No love lost. I just can't rock with him.
I get that. Yeah, the way you feel, that's how I feel about R. Kelly. And I don't listen to Kanye like that.
100%. You know I do.
I don't listen to Kanye at all. Like, the last album I listened to was Watch the Throne. How long ago was that? When he came with the album, I'm like, yo, this isn't real music. This is him venting about not being accepted by Caucasians. And that's my synopsis on Kanye. Throughout that whole interview, everything that he's most passionate about and the people he spoke up most about, the most disgusting thing he said in that interview was how much he was going up for Disney, the owner of Disney, and going up for the owner of Louis Vuitton and all these different Caucasian fashion designers. He put more respect and reverence on their names than he did Harriet Tubman. And for him to say that Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and Harriet Tubman is too much in the past, and yet he praised all these Caucasian people, it pissed me off. That part right there, that's where I was done. And I'm not saying it was a good interview in terms of his favor, because I just wanted to know why he thought the things he did. I need to know the thought process behind the stuff he's speaking so ill will of, or not being considerate of what he's saying. I need to know the thought process behind that. And which I already knew it before the interview started, which is the reason why I had my own analogy of it last week. It just comes, that interview just confirmed everything that I knew was true about Kanye. And at this point, I'm not listening to Kanye, so it's not even a factor. That feeling he gave me from way back when, 03, 04, that's never going to happen again. And I haven't listened to anything. I've been listening to the Pablo, whatever that album is called, Secret Life of Pablo, whatever the hell that album is called, or this current one, or anything. Even if he dropped a new single or something last week, I didn't listen to it. So any of his attempts at that, I'm not listening to. And even since Taylor Swift, then, I haven't been listening to none of his music. So I really ain't really a Kanye fan. I'm just a fan of his production from back then. But other than that, I've been listening to it. So it's kind of pointless to boycott, because I haven't been checking for him for a long time. So, yeah, that's it. That was my whole thing. That whole disrespect of slavery, his word choice, and his point of view when it comes to praising all these Caucasian people over, he's absolutely a black Anglo-Saxon, and that's anybody that reps being a black Anglo-Saxon, you ain't no skin folk of mine. So that's my whole point on the whole Kanye debacle. And let's see what else. I'm trying to see what else is in the news. There's a whole lot. Oh, yes. There's a former Obama staffer. I think he was moving into, I was trying to think of the name of the, where he was living at. I think it was Harlem, Uptown. I don't remember where specifically he was moving at, but he was moving in, and as I saw the video of him, and he's surrounded by, like, New York police. And it was, like, three or four of them in the hallway, and he keeps asking them, can I go upstairs? And they were like, no, we ain't been cleared yet. And he was like, I live up there, or something like that. And basically the point of video was him showing that they wouldn't let him in his house because a Caucasian lady called the police and said that it was a black man that had a weapon, and that was in the, basically in an apartment complex with a weapon. And this dude was moving. She saw a guy with boxes and said he had a gun, and that's when the police showed up. So it really, the Caucasian lady that called the police that wouldn't mind her business, that's the person in Raggedy News. That shit like that, when I saw that, I was like, here it goes again. That same BS that's trying to make my blood pressure go up. But yeah, I was like, really, this dude work in the White House, and y'all accusing him of being a burglar?
Oh, because he's black.
Robbing his own place. That was crazy to me when I read that. I was so mad. I was getting heated watching that video. It wasn't that long, but it was just because he was asking the police, like, who did, and then they showed him the, What's that scanner, that walkie-talkie thing or whatever, that had to play, they had the thing of the 911 call, and they played it for him, and he was like, wow, really? I had a gun? He was like, really? But yeah, he had to wait outside. They called, I don't know how many patrols they called, but they, in that hallway where he was asking them questions, it was like three, four of them, and they said it was more upstairs where his partner was, so that was crazy. Yeah, that lady's definitely in Raggedy News. Caucasian lady. They need to do a thing of, like, when they do, like, false police calls and stuff like that, they need to, like, bring charges up. There need to be some kind of law put in place to where those people, like, get jail time for that. So I feel like that happens a lot.
I agree wholeheartedly. There needs to be some type of consequence for making false allegations, especially ones that are racially based.
She knew what she was doing when she did that. She knew they were going to come, and they knew it was somebody black, the way she said that, when she said weapon, because she knew they was going to come, and she said weapon. Yeah, she needs to go to jail or something for corroborating a false police call of a crime being done. Yeah, we'll move on to. I think we didn't got that much, but yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot to talk about that. The women on Fox News that was mad that this young man got accepted to 20 elite colleges. He got accepted to all 20 of them, the prominent colleges, and they were talking about it was obnoxious. All of them, even the.
So wait, so I never saw it. So what was their issue with him being accepted to the colleges?
Talking about, oh, you know, it's so many people that's gonna be on the waiting list. Like, duh, that's what it is, a waiting list. Y'all act like he keeping somebody from, all they're gonna be is on the waiting list. Y'all act like they're not gonna get accepted. They basically making a big deal saying that, why would you, go through all those colleges and put people on the waiting list and, all kind of bull crap they were saying, and basically were saying that, that he only needs a, she's like, well, I'm gonna make my child just, apply for five. I'm like, that's your mediocre Caucasian child. This black man.
Because all you've ever had to do is be mediocre.
Your mediocre Caucasian child can go for five. This brother already knew the standard and things that he had to reach, so he went for 20. And ain't no telling which one was going to give him what he needed to go to school, a scholarship, how much money, or anything that a scholarship or anything he needed to get into one of those schools. You never know. You know, them things we ain't talking about community college. We talking about Harvard University of Pennsylvania, all kind of schools, all them Duke and all those different prominent schools or whatever. Like, he getting accepted to them schools. Your Caucasian child sound like he need to sign up for a community college. He's going to be getting a Pell Grant or something. Wait, you talk about your child limiting her ability. Don't limit our people and what they can do. And to the other two, one of the Caucasian ladies apologized on Twitter. To that other one, I think her name was Samantha or somebody like that. She can suck one. That's what she can do. Her stanking ass. I'm cussing. I want to slap that lady when she was talking about, oh, that's obnoxious. Watching that video of him being accepted to 20 schools. Well, turn off the TV then if you upset about it. Don't be mad because your child can't get into 20 schools. But yeah, that's all I want to say about that, because that white lady made me mad talking. I'm like, just because your child's GPA is at 2.1, don't be trashing another student.
They both can keep
up. Made 2.2. Made 1,100 on the SAT. Don't be mad at... Don't be mad at his blackness, and that's all it is. You mad at blackness, black excellence. It's gonna keep happening. So stay mad. To that black woman that was sitting up there, she wasn't co-signing, but she wasn't trying to. She know that none of that stuff she was saying made sense.
Wait, it was a black woman?
No, it was a black woman that was just sitting there, just listening to it, wasn't saying nothing.
Oh,
and that's just as bad as going speaking. You basically co-signing what she's saying when you don't say nothing. You didn't check her right then.
Right.
On another topic. But yeah, that's that white lady. That salt team lady. Any people that made me mad, I'm gonna call them a salt team. So, yeah, shout out to that salt team lady for being mad racist to a black child that's got 720 schools. What else? I don't think we got that much left. Raggedy News.
Oh, Kevin Hart.
Yeah, man, I seen this guy, it was making me mad that I couldn't think of, he was in a commercial, and I still can't figure out what, I seen him in a commercial before, because it was making me mad, because I seen other news topics talk about, news outlets talk about this, and they had pictures of them together. I'm like, yo, this cat looked real familiar, and he was in a commercial. I can't think of what commercial it was. But yeah, I would see him all the time in commercials on TV. But apparently he's a pro bowler or something like that, and he averages $3,300 a year. Ooh, that's a rough life. You can't get enough. This dude all about the Vienna sausage life in the Ramen News. I don't even know what you get with $3,000 a year. Whoa. $3,300 to be specific. For pro bowler, you ain't no pro if you bowl. That's your salary. salary for the year. Man, that ain't nothing. $3,300. You was in poverty, sir. You just fill out the WIC applications and stuff. Let Trump hook you up with a basket or something. That's what your life is.
Hey, like $3,000, it's time to put the bowling ball down and go get a real job, man. That's it.
Right. But yeah, basically, Kevin's close friend, it turns out that the investigation that was going on finally wrapped up, and they found out who it was that sent the blackmail that the investigation, he wanted the culprit, he was wanting $17 million with the blackmail, and they found out who it was, and his name is Jackson something. They call him, like, at his stage name, like, Action Jackson or something like that, I don't know, something like that, Jackson something. But yeah, he basically...
You're only making $3,000, ain't too much action.
Right, exactly. I don't know if that's his... I just know his name is Jack. His last name is Jackson. I didn't care that much to look up his first name, but Mr. Jackson was guilty or is getting charges, I guess, pressed on him for blackmailing his friend Kevin Hart for $17 million. Seemed like he needed to make it $33 a year, but yeah. $17 million. They found out who it was, and it was one of his closest friends that was blackmailing him. He had a videotape of, I guess, him cheating on his wife, whoever people were involved. He had video of it, and he threatened Kevin and said that if he didn't pay him this amount of money, then he was going to release the video to certain media outlets or certain websites, I guess popular websites he was going to release it to. And so, yeah. They found out who it was, and he was on Twitter saying he was shocked by it. Basically, just paraphrase, he was shocked by it all, and he just said, wow, because he found out it was his friend. But, yeah, they had videos of people were circulating videos, and he definitely been friends with him. He's friends with him before he became real popular. So I think they said his friendship, like, 13, 15 years, so that's pretty a length of time to know somebody, but, yeah. There's a lot of people in it saying it'd be your own people, but yeah. And then there was some people saying, well, he shouldn't have cheated on his wife. And I'm like, y'all keep saying that, but it's like, man, for that to happen, and then on top of that, find out your friend was the one blackmailing you, I could just imagine how that would feel. But that made me think that ever since then that he's been popping, he disliked him.
My question is, how did he get the video?
They make it seem like he, like, had, like, a secret video somewhere, like a video camera somewhere in the room or something.
Wow.
So that's crazy, because they made it seem like he had it. Like,
wow.
Like an original copy of it. So they make it seem like he planted a video camera in the room or something, and then when they were getting ready to leave on the jet or something like that, he had the camera and all that shit. So that's crazy. Y'all just heard a piece of lobster ball. Y'all heard that on the mic. I'm still eating the salad. It's good. But, shout out to him for being raggedy for trying to blackmail your friends. Don't do stuff like that. That's what I'm afraid of, somebody doing something like that.
No, you got to watch the people in your circle, man.
I be really looking at people, especially with a couple people I had to look at that last year with some of the stuff I've been doing. And I had to cut them off. I'm like, yeah, man, you look like one of them people. You get that vibe. I don't think Kevin picked up on that. He seemed like a loyal, like a blind loyal guy. Like, he seemed like a cat that, like, if you've been with him for a certain amount of time, like, he don't have that kind of awareness of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've been around somebody that long, you don't think they're capable of it. But I look at everybody like that. I don't care if it's family or not. Like, I always, if you do something skeptical, if you just do something a little off that's out of the ordinary, I'm looking at you. It could be anything, like the way you say something or the way you act towards me, I'd be looking at you. Like, it ain't like, I just wait till it gets to a point to where you show me something, and then I'm like, oh, yeah. It was like two people I cut off last year. I'm like, yo, they were showing me stuff. I'm like, oh, that's what it is. This is an out right here. So just cut them off, like, right then. I'm like, you've been showing me the signs. And then when I finally get that clear sign that that's what it was and I got to cut you off, that's what it is, because when I cut you off, I'll cut you off. Ain't no coming back. Because usually it's something, like, real disrespectful. And sometimes I'll be trying to, because sometimes I'll consult somebody. I'll be like, yo, did you feel this way about somebody? like, yeah, this will happen. And sometimes it'd be like they have the same, like, point of view of, like, how I have. I'm like, yo, that's what I was thinking. And then it just happened to me last month, not to be, like, in details or whatever, because it was super serious. It was, like, a certain situation where I was asking somebody. I'm like, yo, do you think this person is this way? I'm like, you think it's this? And they were like, yeah, because that's why I don't deal with them for that long, because they act like that. I'm like, yo, that's the same. I thought I was the only one that was thinking like that, because sometimes you got to, like, make sure it ain't just you thinking some way, that it ain't all in your head. And then when somebody else, because they didn't have no upper hand of not liking them, because they didn't care that much to be like, oh, F that person or whatever I was talking about, to talk dirty on them. But it's just like those moments where you got to have like a real conversation, and you know it ain't going to go no further than the person you're telling, and they like give you that real. It's like, yo, that's what it is. And then you get like clarification, and then that's when you start like trying to figure out like, okay, do I seriously need to cut this person off, or do we just need to be cordial and just be nonchalant about it, or what? But yeah, I definitely got a lot of clarity. A few times I've gotten a lot of clarity on people. And sometimes it pulls me the right way. I don't think I've ever been wrong about somebody that I cut off. I think it was maybe that one, it was like one incident where we had to like apologize and get like real understanding, and I repaired that friendship. But most of the time, it was just most of that one was just my ego and just me being prideful and didn't want to apologize. But most of the time, it didn't have nothing to do with being apologist. It's just the way you were treating me. This is how I was feeling, and then it turned into something else, and then you started acting a certain way. And it'd be like people you give opportunity, because I'm pretty sure Kevin gave this guy a lot of opportunity. It'd be them people that be the most jealous that you give opportunities to. They get, like, more jealous. Crazy. You get that? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's I get what you're saying 100%. It's one of those things about, you know, why isn't that me, or I deserve this, like, why is he getting that?
Right.
I think old boy just couldn't take that, you know, Kevin was making the money and he wasn't. And he wanted to cash in. Well, he tried to.
It did seem like he probably think he's funnier than Kevin, too. It might be that, too. And you know, Kevin was probably friends of. Because he gave all his friends opportunities. What's them cats he called Plastic Cup Boys? Like, those are all his, like, real-life friends. And they're all, like, writers, and they work for his company. He has his own company. Was it Heart Company or something like that? Of production company. And then he has the Laugh Out Loud Network online.
I get it. I think it's...
He gives them all opportunities. So he's not one of those one celebrities that when he makes it, he don't bring his friends. Like, most of those cats been with him before he got popping. They been with him when he was doing just regular clubs. So when he started doing arenas and stadiums and stuff like that, he lets them open and stuff, and then he lets them write for him for other projects that he has going on. Like, they have consistent checks coming in. And then he has a new radio show that's on, I think, satellite radio on Sirius. He has his own radio show now, and they're all on that show, and they're all getting paid for that. So it ain't about, I think he's like one of those cats that brings all those people around, but I think it was just that cat, like you said, like, I think it was just pure jealousy. It's just, you always have those people that always want more, and he probably wanted a salary. Like, for you to ask for $17 million, this cat didn't want to work no more. Like, he didn't want, I was trying to figure out, like, what his thought process was.
When he was gonna buy all the
You get your $17 million, and then you go around your friends that know that your ass ain't got that much money like that, and you out here buying expensive cars. You buy your expensive car, and Kevin be like, "Yo, where'd you get that car? You really thought that he wasn't gonna figure out that you the one he paid? Like, really?" I was trying to figure out, like, what logic sense that he think he's gonna get away with that, because he can't go around them anymore. Because they're going to find out, like, yo, that's not, like, like not even $100 that he gave you, $17 million. Like, how do you just hide that you got $17 million from your friend? That's crazy. Even if he did blackmail him, he should have known, and he really wasn't your friend then, because he started out too big. I would ask for $2 million if he's talking about some kind of scheme or something like that. You ask for small change. You don't go off the bat. Now, he probably would have gave it to him if it was under $5 million. It probably would have happened. But for you to go out the back and ask for 17, really? That's what I'm saying. Man, this is tripping. I'm trying to figure out how you thought he was going to get away with it. You know he a dumb criminal. You right. You don't know your friends at all fast for 17 million. You should have asked for another. You knew he was going to give you. You ain't a real friend. You ain't been a real friend at all. You ain't even, you don't even know what to ask for. As soon as you sent that blackmail, he like, all right, let me put on this IG video. Okay, wife, I'm sorry. We did this to the family. I didn't mean to do this. As soon as you asked for that $17 million, he cut on the Instagram video. If he was like, I apologize for this. It's put shame on my family. But yeah, that dude's dumbass. He deserves to be in Raggedy News because you don't do that to friends. But yeah, right now we're going to do, we're going to go to break. We'll be back.
Yep.
We'll finish off Savvy News.
Soul Savvy News Show. EB. EB and Q Lynn Green. All right, let's do this.
Yes,
let me just sit down and relax a minute. Let me tell you about it. Where I might end up. You might see me on the east side, the west side. I'm even going across the bridge, oh, cause I hear they really get down over there.
Andre. You already know. Hey, folks, you already know. That's the OJs, Living for the Weekend. Welcome back. Hey, to the Soul Savages Show with EB and Q Lynn Green. All good. Hey, good selection there, Q Lynn. Great selection.
That song is for the OJ song is for the people that, can't wait for payday, that
you
right.
Pay on
payday.
Yep.
Cause all 3 weeks you eat to that. I remember that life, man. That life was rough. You use all your pocket change for that dollar menu at Wendy's or whatever. You get like a whole meal off the dollar menu. Then come payday, it's all kinds of steak going on. All kinds of steak and baked potatoes going on.
Lobster.
How you feel? That life was rough.
Q Lynn, you nailed that one.
Paycheck to paycheck, man. You were, paycheck to paycheck.
Hey, look here, you spot on that one. You are 100% correct because that's exactly what I'm thinking. That's oh, that's funny as hell. Living for the weekend.
You know what? While we're on break, go ahead. You can go ahead.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying
nothing. No, I was saying, hey, you can't wait to get off work, get away from that job, get away from that ugly boss you got.
That,
yeah, I mean,
that wasn't afraid. That song, that song right there, shout out to people that weren't afraid to put that $4.79 on Pump 4. Shout out to them people. They used to get that change, their car wash change out the car. They used to be my life, man. It's cool. $3
worth of nickels, man, used to get me through, man. All I needed was $3 worth of change to get 10 miles.
That's all I needed.
And that's what,
wait,
and that's when you go into the gas station with a 5 and be like,
$3 on it, give me $2. I used to, when I went to the grocery, I knew, I was like, I tried to get like $5 worth of gas, and I knew I had like $3.87, and I'd sit there and get like my dimes and nickels. I used to have like a bunch of dimes and nickels I used to have. And I would sit there and count it. I used to count on my fingers. I still count on my fingers. I'm not good at math.
Oh,
so I would
boy.
Sit there and count it, and I'd be like, 20, 10, 20, 30. 40. Oh, man, I got to start over. I didn't lost
my oh, boy.
I'd be like, okay, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Okay.
Oh, boy.
The nickels used to throw me off because I used to count the dimes easy. Okay, 10, 20, 30, 40. As soon as I get the nickels, it's like, okay, 85. 90,
oh Jesus!
How far? Oh shoot! I messed up. I lost my train of thought. Let me go back.
How far back are you going? Hey, look here. I got a quick question.
I would go back like 3 times, and the cashier would just get okay. I count it later. You can go ahead. She would never count it. It'd be like $3.97. I get that. I was like, yes.
Okay.
$5.
I got a quick question. Quick question for both of you. How much is gas in Oklahoma, and how much is gas right now in New York? In New York.
Man, I actually stopped at a gas station last week, not paying attention before I stopped, but I was on E, so I stopped and the gas was $3.15, and I was just pissed.
What?
Oh, man, I wish it was.
$3.15 a gallon.
What is it in Oklahoma? $3.15? Okay, is that for premium or is that for regular?
Oh, no, that's regular.
Okay. Well, shucks. Okay, that's still not too bad. Okay, so far. Q Lynn.
It was when I went and got gas last week, it was $3.85.
Good Lord. That's where I am in California. It's up there.
That's not for regular gas. Regular gas, it was $3.85. And then for the ethanol, I get the ethanol gas because it runs good in my car. It was $3.45.
Okay.
When I filled up, but it almost took like $30. Usually, I could fill up for like $18-$20 when it was under $3. When it gets to like two, I want to go back down to $2.95 because I could kick it with that $2.95 because it only takes like $18-$20 to fill it up. But when it go up to like almost $4, it takes like almost $30 to fill my car. I'm like, man, this is too much.
I'm surprised, Oklahoma.
Jamba Juice budget.
Yeah, I'm surprised that in Oklahoma, I'm surprised that in Oklahoma is that high, because I need premium out here, and premium out here is about $3.85.
In Oklahoma City, it's real low. It's like $2.97, $2.98. But where I'm at, it's like where the oil rigs and stuff is at, like oil companies and stuff, so they make it go all the way up, because it's like oil companies there, and they always shacking and stuff, so we get like earthquakes like every week.
Oh, shit.
And they always shacking. Or, I forgot the word. They said I'm saying it wrong. But whatever, they're fracking. That's what it is.
Fracking. Oh, God. Yeah. And that's the most expensive way.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most expensive way to drill.
When they do that. So, yeah.
Okay. That's fracking is the most expensive way to drill for oil. It's been proven there.
Yeah, but they do it. Like, Oklahoma, we're like at the highest rate of earthquakes every month.
Yeah, no wonder.
I think the one we had was like over a 5.0. Like, really, like one of them we had a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh, shoot. Like, because the whole house shook. Cause it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Unbelievable.
Like, it's always in the afternoon when they do it. And my whole house shook. I was like, oh, shit. Because it was like a couple of my pictures I had up. They fell off the wall. Because the whole house shook when they was fracking. But yeah, we get earthquakes like every other week because they're always looking for oil and stuff. And they can feel it. It goes all the way up to almost, they said, to like Missouri. Like, that's how big the earthquake gets. Like, past Oklahoma, like going into Kansas and stuff. They said it gets all the way up there. Like, how big it is, they can feel it a little bit, the effects of it. I don't know about in Texas. I think a little bit past Texas they can feel it, but most of it past Oklahoma, you can, in the Midwest, they can feel the earthquake. Because it's like over 5.0 or something like that. But, yeah. Oh, yeah, I found the name of that cat. When I was talking about that black Republican, I finally found his name because I was looking up that video that I watched the other day. His name, I done forgot already. Hold on a second. I done forgot it again. Man, his last name is Singleton. I'm trying to pull it up again. Let me see his name. It was just popped up a minute. Give me like 2 seconds. Here it is right here. His name is Shermichael Singleton. That black Republican I was talking about earlier. His name is Shermichael Singleton. His video, he's pretty good.
I don't even know
black
him.
Black conservative. You watch CNN, he's on there a lot.
Where, yeah, do you know what,
Shermichael Singleton.
He's just a commentator on CNN?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Okay. He's way better than Paris Bernard. That freaking, oh my God. I just want to see him out in public one time so I can cuss him out. Like, you really be on here. And it's not even just the fact that he believes what he believes, but he has the nerve to be condescending about it. You know what I'm talking about, Will, when he be talking and he be trying to throw digs at people. That'd be making me mad, because I'm like, dude, you was loud and wrong. Then you got the nerve to be trying to insult people while you be talking. I'd be getting mad. Well, Paris Bernard is trash. That's a black Anglo-Saxon right there. Trash. But yeah, we're going to finish off Savvy News real quick. I lost the list again. 1 second. I just said Van Lathan of TMZ. He's in Savvy News because he has a great point of view. I've always liked his commentary on TMZ. He's always pretty good on there. I like Van Lathan for, because he needed, that's why you need people in the workplaces like that, because everybody else was just gone. If nobody else spoke up, they would have just kept letting him rant and not say nothing. I'm saying that significant moment was necessary for him to speak up, and what he said was right because nobody else was going to check him. So he stood up and probably could have risked his job doing it if it didn't go the right way. But he stood up anyway and spoke his mind and said what needed to be said to Kanye at that exact moment. And he let it happen. So shout out to him. And also, we talked about a high school student being accepted to 20 colleges. This, student, she's a black, it's a woman, a black young lady, high school student. She's been accepted to 112 colleges. So shout out to her. And she got over $200,000 worth of scholarship money. So, shout out to her for being accepted to 112 colleges in the U.S. That's pretty crazy. Well, I don't know if
that's another
overseas period, but yeah, shout out to her for being accepted to 112 colleges. And then last night I finally finished it. Ed Gordon, predominant journalist, great journalist, one of my favorite journalists of all time, top five of all time, Ed Gordon. He's one of the best. I love him. He has this new documentary. I think, I forgot where else you can watch it at, but it was streaming on this app called Brown Sugar I was watching. It's like basically like a black Netflix. I think it was owned by Bob Johnson that used to own BT before he sold it to Viacom or whatever. And so he has this app called Brown Sugar, and it's, he had this documentary stream by Ed Gordon. It's called Am I Black Enough? And it was really, really good. I loved it because he got, the way he shot the documentary, he had it broken up in segments to where he talked about what is black enough, and he broke it down in terms of colorism. He broke it down in terms of black conservatives. When Will did his 6 minutes of rage, he really gave the history behind black conservatism, where it started, like with Frederick Douglass and the Party of Lincoln. It used to be known as the Party of Lincoln, Republicans, and talking about Frederick Douglass and Clarence Thompson, and went through that. And then when it went to after the Tea Party and all that stuff, it broke it down in that aspect. And then in colorism, it was a really good segment on that, and then them talking on that. And then in terms of black entertainers, the shows that they do, like he had the creator of Blackish on, like Blackish, and Anthony Anderson Key. I forgot his name. I think his last name is Peel. I'm not sure.
Jordan Peel?
No. Doggone it. What the crap is his name? It's the creator of Blackish. But they had him on, had a segment, and Anthony Anderson.
Oh, I thought that was, is it Kenya Bird?
Yes, that's his name.
Okay.
I'm terrible with names. I couldn't remember. I knew it was something like that. But yeah, they were talking about it and saying how they were, Ed Gordon was giving his narration and saying that they were looking at it as a Cosby, but then they said that other naysayers of the show were saying that it wasn't black enough, that they didn't have really true black characters on there, and I always thought that was BS when people were saying that, because they were judging it way before it got on air. I remember people were mad at the name Blackish. They're just the name of the show they were mad at and didn't even know what it was. And if you watch the show, some people don't like it because they think it's too preachy of blackness, but I think it's good because it gets into the essence of what blackness is. The show Blackish, I love it because it touches on different topics and it goes different angles with the talking points, and that's why I like the show. I wouldn't necessarily compare it to Cosby Show, because Cosby never hit on some of the issues in terms of like blackness. Like, it wasn't so, it was like sort of a, anybody, like a regular family could relate to that, but Blackish is more, they're more cynical about what the message is in every episode. Like, they'll have an episode about, they did one of Juneteenth, of breaking that down, giving history of what that means and why black people don't celebrate it. Then they also talk about, they have like different things they talk about, within the episode. And so I thought it was cool them giving their perspective on that. And then he said something so poignant, Kenya, he was like about representation of blackness and what that is. And he said something about Tyler Perry, and he said initially, he was like, man, look at this. He was basically saying, calling Tyler Perry a Uncle Tom. He was like, man, making black people look bad and all that stuff, and he was going on that. But then he said he would go over his aunt's house or his mom's house, and they have like a whole row of Madea plays and the movies and all that at their house. And he's like, it's not fair for me to say what's good or not when it's the audience for it. And that's how I felt about it. I'm like, yo, these Tyler Perry, because I used to watch him, I'm like, man, he has the same like thing with this. This ain't really, he's not really progressive enough for me. But then all my aunts and by everybody, all the aunts in my family watch those Madea movies like religiously when they come on TV, and they have all the DVDs and movies and plays. They have all that. So I just thought it was a great point he was making, that what you think is non-tasteful, that somebody's watching it. And so if it's not affected, he's like, and then they just, the concept of blackness, and they were like, what is it? Is it in the speech? Is it in the way we look? And then when they started getting to the colorism, I'm like, yo, this is so deep, because talking about how we make jokes and all that stuff, and they gave the root of like where all that comes from. And they were saying like back in Africa that nobody did that, that it didn't start until slavery and all that stuff, where they started separating us and trying to say, oh, you're this because you're like light skinned. And then they had two people on. They had the Miss Utah, and then there's some other dark-skinned girl that got some kind of flack on the internet, and they were asking their people's reaction to the Miss Utah was saying that she wasn't black enough because she didn't look black or something like that. And then the dark-skinned girl, she was talking about the comments she would get and say that, oh, you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl, or you're not pretty enough to be, you're not pretty because you're dark-skinned, and it was like that kind of stuff. And then they were talking about that. And then also breaking it down economically in terms of, like, when you don't live in the hood and if you live in a suburban area, if you talk a certain way, then you're not black. And that's all, like, they hit on, like, everything that's the, in terms of, like, black people talking a certain way towards black people of what's black and what's not black. I've even had white people tell me, it was like one white person tell me that I wasn't black because I didn't listen to, like, the latest. It was something they were playing. It was some cat named YG or something like that. And I was like, I don't listen to that. And he was like, what you listening to? And I was like, I listen to, like, old music. And he was, like, looking at me crazy because I didn't know what the latest is. I'm like, because I'm black, I'm supposed to know what the latest music is, you prick. I was going to cuss his ass out when he said that to me. But we was in a professional setting. It was like some kind of corporate party or something. I was at, like, trying to get something, some kind of deal or something like that going on. That's why I cussed his ass out, because I would have made a scene. But, yeah, he was talking crazy to me, talking about trying to make it seem like I wasn't black because I didn't listen to the latest black music or hip hop or whatever. I'm like, fuck you fucking prick. I'm like, I was ready to cuss him out. But yeah, have you seen that documentary yet? BB?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Pretty good. I like it. I like the way he had it, the way he shot it and had the interviewers. He had like a Samuel Jackson, Chris Spencer, Boris Kojo, who else do you have on there? There are a lot of people on there. Anthony Anderson, I named Kenny Barrett. Who else on there? I think there's a lot of actors. Oh, what's his name? Dondra Whitfield, he was on there. Dondra Whitfield, I said his name wrong. Dondra Whitfield, and who else was on that? I just watched it last night, so it should be fresh in my mind, but I can't think of any more. But yeah, I think those were the main ones. And then it was other, I think it was an activist or something. I was probably going to have like Jesse Williams or somebody on there, but he had some pretty good interviewers on. And then talking about biracial people, about what's that. I never got that, because they were talking about the one drop rule that was created back in the day. They gave the origins of that, the one drop rule. But yeah, I thought that was a good talking point with biracial. When it got to the biracial part, the ones that were biracial, I think it was Boris Kojo. His came in mind because he was saying that his dad was from Ghana, and his mother was German, and he said he always identified as black. But he does have a German mother, and so they talked about, and there was I think the co-owner of Ebony, I forgot her name, she's biracial, she said her father was white, and her mother was black, and so she's talking about the differences of that, and that she always identified as black, but then she always recognized that. And then I forgot who it was that made this quote. Oh, it was Yara Shahidi. She made a great quote, and she was saying that, you know, initially when people look at her, they say they see a black woman. They don't see oh, my father is, I forgot the name of what her father's origin is, but I think he's Middle Eastern. Her father's Middle Eastern, and her mom is black. They're like, oh, they're not going to point out that they just see a black person. And so she tries to say that she's 100% black and then 100% white. And so she's 100% of both, and she's not half of anything. And I thought that was a good point, because that's how I feel. Because most people don't know. If you don't know, my mother is Native American. She's biracial, and my dad is black. And so her mother, my grandmother, is full-blooded Native American. But I've always identified as black. It wasn't until I got in high school and when I got in the Native American club, that's when I started researching where my origins was, and I found out what tribe I was. And My mother wasn't born in Oklahoma. She was born in Portland, Oregon. And so all of my heritage from her side is through Oregon and stuff. And so it's a real, like, big history. So part of that is still my genetics is it deals with that, with racism and all that stuff, because my grandmother wasn't allowed to be married to my grandfather back then on the reservation, because my grandma lived on a reservation. And they couldn't be married, they couldn't be together. So all of that's still, like, predominant in terms of my makeup. But I know I still, like, have a little bit, my origins traced back further than that. So I want to do that ancestry thing to try to figure out what's more. Because I know I'm Native American and black, so I want to know if it's, like, anything else. Man, I'm going to be mad if I find out I'm, like, 60% European or something like that. I'll be pissed. If I do that thing, but I find out, like, I have all this animosity towards Caucasian people, and I end up being, like, Caucasian or something. That's gonna make me mad. I know we've done talking about it now. We've got a few minutes to kill before we wrap up, but have you thought about doing the ancestry yet, or have you done it?
Actually, I have, I ordered, I think it's called 23andMe. I ordered one of those kits, and I've had that kit for months. I haven't done it yet, and it was something that I've been meaning to do, because I know a great deal about my family's history, you know, in America. I know, you know, I can trace my maternal side back to the early 1800s, but I don't know, and it's crazy, my paternal grandmother passed last month. And or earlier this month, and it's crazy how much we didn't know about her family, and we still don't know. So I would love to do that. You know, I need to just go ahead and do the test and send it off, but I haven't done it yet.
No, I said I was going to do it at the beginning of the year, but I forgot to send off for that 23andMe. But I'm definitely going to do that because I feel like I have, like, a lot of different things. And I always knew
I'm curious.
I was younger. I always knew that I was, from some of my dad's side of the family said that I'm biracial. I don't feel like I'm biracial because my mother's biracial because she is Native American and black, but I'm still, like, black. But it's that whole thing of, like, I remember, like, back in the day, like, they used to let my hair grow, like, me and my sister's hair grow all the way down, and that's how they would. So, like, oh, you got good hair. I used to always hate that because they always put that on us, and then you always get that thing of, like, us being better. They always say that, oh, we act like we're better than such and such. And I always hated. I always wanted to cut my hair when I was in school because I used to hate that attention. Because as soon as we would get our hair done, it would be like a flock of people around us, like it was like some kind of, like, science experiment. And I just hated all that attention. But then it would always be people with mixed reactions to it, and it was just always weird. And then it's like, and even when I did used to do all that, it always be those questions of when I used to wear my hair long, it was like, oh, what are you? Like, what are you? Like, what kind of question is that? Like, what are you? Like, oh, we know you black, but what else is there? That's basically what they asked me. But I'm like, why do you have to ask a question like that? Why is that important? Why do people ask that? Like, why does that matter? Like, what somebody is?
Honestly, I never got any of that, that whole, well, what are you? Or, oh, you must have this, or you must be mixed with this. Like, I never got any of that.
I just don't understand it. And then there's some people that do internalize it and be like, and try to down their blackness by saying that I'm everything but black. And I don't like that either. But it just always, it still bothers me because people still do that today. Because if it's somebody that has a platform to, say, talk about things that affect the marginalized people, they're like, oh, well, you're not black enough to talk. Who gave you that permission to determine what's black or not? And I think that documentary was important because I hate those questions. People still have those, and they still have that ideology of, like, you have to be a certain kind of black. Like, and then also I think you would like it because Dondre actually set up this question. He was like, he was like, about LGBT community. He was like, He's like, why we don't ever talk about that? Why is that such a taboo topic in the black community? He's like, don't nobody ever want to touch that. And he's like, oh, you, he basically saying that you question their blackness because of their sexual orientation. He's like, why is that? And I was like, yo, they're hitting on like every possible question of blackness, of what people question, they're hitting on this documentary. That's why I love it so much, because any area of different levels to what, how you question blackness in terms of whatever your genetic makeup is, your nationality, that they hit on that. They hit on in terms of popular people, their platforms and what they consider black or not, and what affects LGBT community. They talk about that. They hit on like everything, and I feel like it would be like a good talking point for different shows to talk about. But yeah, I like this.
I want part of that. I want to get in on that one.
Yeah, I just thought it was real good, because I get tired of that. It's like with that thing he talked about, it was like those Umar Johnson that say that, oh, you're not black because you're gay, or you're not black enough because you're biracial.
Oh,
what kind
God
of stuff
Lord.
Is it? Who sits and thinks of stuff like that? It just drives me
dumb folks.
The dictator of blackness. What makes you blacker than somebody? That shit pisses me off when people do that to me. They send me comments talking about I'm not black.
Uh-huh.
I was on Facebook
really?
Talking and somebody was like, oh, you're not black. They called me a bed wench. They called me saying that it was, I was talking, I did a piece on Farrakhan, and they were like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not a real black person.
Okay.
All
right.
Like that, but yeah.
Well, asking about it is not black.
Is this a difficult conversation? But yeah, we'll go into a whole new topic, because I got a whole nother spill on that. It's just a whole other thing that people make me mad trying to determine what blackness is. But at the end of the show, I didn't realize I talked that much, 4 minutes. But yeah, end of the show.
How do you become a
Savvy Heathen Talk is mind your business. I'm a backpack off of Haley's Savvy Heathen Talk from last week and say mind your business. And no, and it's specifically people that think like Kanye. Words mean things, so make sure before you open your mouth you know what you're talking about. And then it's also okay not to say anything if you don't know what you're talking about. That also helps as well. That's the end of the Soul Sadness Radio Show, and we're out. So I have to go to the bathroom. And we're out.
EB.
We'll be back next week, y'all. Every Friday, 5-7 Pacific time. Yeah.
Q-Lynn Green. Great show, as usual.
Yeah.
Oh. Tuxedo. Skydive.
Hey guys, I'm Grant Thompson, and this skydive is one of my dreams coming true.
All right. It's possible because... Hey, that was the Soul 70 Show, and we broadcast the Soul 70 Show every Friday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that's 8 o'clock on the East Coast. But coming up, we have maybe a different segment of Braxton's Back tonight. Well, Mike, guess what? I think we're going to do some special music. I think I'm going to hijack Braxton's Back and just fill in. This is WB. I'll be your host tonight. But in the meantime, hey, stay tuned for some great, great music here on Studio W The Buzz. What do I have lined up for you?
Yeah.
Sade, Smooth Operator. Studio W The Buzz. Matter of fact, we have a brand new link. www.studiowbuzz.com, anywhere around the globe. And you can download IMG2. Yep, that's it. IMG2. On any device. Let's do it.
With another girl today, with another heart. Placing high stakes, making hearts rate. He's loved in 7 languages. Toolbox life, diamond light, movie light. High in the sky. Heaven help him. When he falls. Diamond light, lover boy. He will fit space with minimum weight. Maximum joy. City light.
To ask, he's a smooth operator.